McGurk!
I love
not
typing.
Not messing my Google Docs, Meeksy. Supergirl Radio is going live every night of the week. How do you like it? Is becoming a human burrito a plus or a minus? I don't know. It does seem snug.
I mean, they say you are what you eat.
Cheer up.
I love that.
So I do a podcast called Supergirl Radio, and one of our segments is Lena Luthor, boardroom or ballroom.
Because really? She looks like a boss in this film.
Nasty Luther, like a different Luther? It's not just Lena being mean?
No.
Helen Slater here. So fun to know that you're hosting a podcast called Supergirl Radio.
Welcome to Supergirl Radio, your source for all things related to the character of Kara Zor-El. My name is Rebecca Johnson.
I'm Morgan Glennon.
And we are live and wired on the DC TV Podcast YouTube channel and the Supergirl Radio Facebook page to discuss and review the Tomorrowverse animated film, Justice Society World War II. I have to be real slow when I say World War because that can come out
hard.
A little messy. Yeah. And to help us do that is the Flash Podcast's own Andy Babak. Welcome back to Supergirl Radio, a longtime guest. Also helps us in the, you know, in the backgrounds of things sometimes. And thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm laughing. Every time I get to my ex-hole, Nasty Luffy, is that just another word for Lena Luthor? I'm like, it still gets me. Like, obviously it is, because it's so accurate, though. Like, I'm like, Nasty Luffy, wouldn't that just be a mood for them? But like, no, there's an accurate mood.
It was indeed not just Lena when she's feeling mean.
You know, I will admit, I shamelessly sometimes go and like just rewatch like the opening credits for you guys. Just, you know, like you know, all great opening credits in history, like Smallville, Buffy, Supergirl Radio, and it's all, yeah, you guys have had lots of fun over the last few years.
Yes, and I've told Morgan that I'm never taking Mike out of the opening because
it's always keeping Mike in.
It's always a fan favorite. So, and it also helps educate people that there is a character named Nasty Luther.
People should know about Nasty Luther.
We should do a whole character spotlight on Nasty. I feel like that's
we should.
It's time. We got, you know, we don't need a show. We don't need a show to do a character spotlight. So, you know, you all just do it.
We got to educate.
We got to share the lore.
This is a learning podcast. You know.
Yes, absolutely.
If we didn't tell people, nobody would know.
That exactly. Is actually true. Yeah.
The schools are not teaching the kids anything valuable these days. So, you know, it's like, you know, it's your job to let them know about all the
losers. It's our job as educators.
I would pay for a good Patreon episode of you guys just doing like a big Luther family tree of like going as far back as you can, because one, I think Rebecca's Google Doc would slap. Two, it would just be funny to see how you guys would break down like pre-crisis, post-crisis version of the family tree, like Luther. So
I'm going to make Morgan do the research for that one.
Could you imagine just like me, like with red string everywhere?
We got one video. There's one video on YouTube where there's like a girl, like she's doing like a Vampire Diaries breakdown, and her thumbnail is like, it's like a board and just like all these friends. She just points
at it. I think that might be like the Jenny Nicholson video where she like talks for like 3 hours about the vampire. I haven't watched it yet, but like I'm looking forward to it.
That does sound amazing. Well, we will work on that sometime. A Luther family tree.
Just for that thumbnail alone, I will pay for it.
Okay, all right. We'll put that on the to-do list when we get there. So we're going to be talking about Justice Society World War II, but before we get to that discussion, we need to get to the news.
According to ScreenRant.com, the Arrowverse's Melissa Benoist chimes in on Millie Alcock being tapped as the new Kara Zor-El for the DC Universe in Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, by saying, "I think any and all takes on the character are valuable because of what she stands for. Supergirl as an entity is iconic for a reason and has been since the 50s. I personally think that every iteration of her is valuable for young women to see, and hopefully with every take on her, someone will see themselves in it." Aww.
Yeah,
nice quote.
I thought that was a great way to answer that question. I'm sure a lot of people were asking for her take on the Millie Alcock casting. So I'm glad to hear that she is continuing to be positive about other Supergirls coming into the fold. And I also thought it was worth noting that she mentioned the 1950s. I thought that was impressive because Supergirl actually debuted in 1959. So kudos to Melissa Benoist for knowing that bit of Supergirl trivia, knowing actually when she debuted. So I found that most impressive because some people may not know that. 1959, really hugging the 1960s, though, right on the edge.
I honestly thought Supergirl was like a little bit older than that. I couldn't, I don't have a knowledge of exactly the year, but I thought it was earlier in the 50s.
1959.
Good for you, Melissa.
But if you listen to the Supergirl Radio episode I did on the 60th anniversary of Supergirl, where I did a presentation at Atlanta Comic Con, you'll know that that was not the first time that DC Comics played around with the idea of a female Superman.
So
you should go back and listen to it if you haven't. Actually, this article from Screen Rant was actually written by Andy Babak. So we will get that linked in the in the video description and the audio.
That was me. Okay. Yeah. I was like, damn, that's a good quote. Last week just flew by me. So by the time I just saw the quote, because I did not talk to Melissa. That was, I think, Caitlin or Tatiana who did it. But once I saw that quote, I grabbed it. But then the week just flew by. I'm like, damn, that's a damn good quote. Why haven't I read this yet?
What a well-written article that was. I'm sure a handsome man wrote that one.
Not in this department. But I will happily take a Pulitzer like Cara. So
yeah. I mean, you probably show up for work a little bit more than her.
A little bit too much.
Yeah, so Andy, I guess you agree that it's a good quote. Did you have any other thoughts?
Yeah, no. First of all, because you were pointing it out that she went back all the way to the 50s. I wonder if DC personally sent her some 50s comics when she got the role. If she actually owns in frame the first issue when Supergirl first shows up, and that's how she knows it's from the 50s. It's pretty cool. It's just crazy that my dad and Supergirl are basically the same age, because my dad was born in 1958. So I'm like, damn. Because I also thought it was 42, 45. I thought Clark wasn't alone for that long, but you know.
So someone fact check me. Look up Action Comics number 252.
I do not dare to fact check you, Rebecca.
Now I'm doubting myself. Someone should fact check me. Double check. Action Comics number 252.
I'm seeing May 1959 as well.
Okay, all right, good.
So I think you're good.
Okay, good.
I'm glad you support. It's glad you're, because I know a lot of people were wondering with Melissa, because I know Helen Slater, she made a really beautiful post the day after she got cast, and Laura Vandenberg talked about her. So it's cool seeing all the super women, the Supergirl actresses coming together and just supporting each other. I'm still waiting for the day when we just have a big panel with all of them, and they just, because that's it's rare. We have every live action Supergirl still with us, and I think they should, someone should do something about it.
Yeah, that's no, a good point. I would love that panel. I feel like I would just go to wherever was.
You two should probably.
Listen, we're available.
Bring them to Dragon Con. Rebecca can book the biggest room. I don't know how it works, but just make it up. But yeah, no, I'm happy she's supportive, and it's I'm glad because it feels like she hasn't talked about Supergirl in a hot minute. So
Yeah,
it's been a while, but she's in Girls on the Bus mode now. Gotta get on that bus.
She's on that bus. She's in the bus. She's all around the bus, really.
Yeah, but I'm glad. I'm just genuinely excited to see what they're gonna do. Although I'm still reading Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, and
make sure you watch Supergirl Radio's episode.
One of your episodes accidentally started playing on my podcast app a few weeks ago that was rated Woman of Tomorrow, and I'm like, I don't know why is this playing. I'm like, why are you talking about Woman of Tomorrow? And I saw which episode. I'm like, this is a turn off. So.
You were going to be like, why is this playing? I don't want to listen to this.
Issue number 8 is crucial to listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
If you don't listen to any of the other episodes, number 8 is the one.
I had to temporarily unfollow Tom King when the books was coming out. And the only time I've seen Tom King anything was when he teased there was going to be more of his Supergirl. So because I don't know if he retweets spoilers or whatever from I should have been read up by now, but once James Gunn was like, we're doing a movie, I'm like,
Homework time.
Well, anytime is better, you know, it's better late than never, I guess. So I'm going to go hop into the chat. Mind the Gap says Supergirl was created by the same person who created Mary Marvel. So clearly she was an inspiration. That is correct. Otto Bender created both characters. And one day at some point in the future, we are going to do episodes on Otto Bender and Al Plastino.
Book club.
we are going to get it. We just have gotten sidetracked by some other things. But actually, in the book that we'll talk about with Otto Bender, the biography of him, they talk about the author talks about Shazam and Mary Marvel quite a bit, because what I learned out of that book, and we'll talk more about it later, but Otto Bender was actually more famous for Shazam stuff, because at the time Shazam was way more popular than Superman. So Mary Marvel was a big deal for him. And Mind the Gap says that I think Metallo also first appearance is in the same issue as Supergirl's first appearance, which is correct. Action Comics number 252, which came out March. This is March 31st. I don't know. Is it March or May? 1959. We'll get that fact checked. So let's see, what else did we need to get in there? Also, Mind the Gap mentioned we didn't get back to this after we got to the news, but Nasty Luther appeared in All-Star Superman. So maybe we'll have to include that in the character spotlight. All right. So that is going to do it for us for the news section of this episode. So let's get into the main discussion that we came here to have, which is about Justice Society World War II. And the IMDb description for it reads, quote, "The Justice Society of America, a group of heroes aiding the Allies in World War II, acquire an ally from the future who sends them on an adventure that changes history," unquote. Because that seems to be something Barry Allen is quite capable of doing, is changing
his thing, really. Should he be doing it? Who knows?
Well, he didn't know about the Speed Force in this one, so maybe it's not his fault. So since we have Andy Babak of the Flash podcast, our resident Flash expert, I guess we'll start with you, Andy. What do you think about Barry Allen's journey back in time? He's not only going back in time, but he's also going to another Earth during the period of World War II. So what did you think about him doing a little time traveling?
Well, I think expert is, first of all, too kind, but thank you. I know a few stuff. I have a few comics, so it's fine. When I heard this movie was announced, I got so excited, and I was feeling like, oh, I kind of hope that Flash has a big role in it. And then they were like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to give you Matt Bomer as the Flash. I'm like, are you kidding me? Tell me more. So, this is going to sound so stupid, because, you know, I watched the trailer and I'm like, oh, cool. He's going to go back in time, you know, because usually, you know, some version of the JSA is either in the 40s or it's on Earth 2. So I was like really invested in, like, I'm like, it's going to be a cool time travel story. So then when we actually found out it's another Earth, I'm like, but now I don't know how to feel, because I'm just, like, so annoyed that we didn't get a time travel story, but at the same time, like, but he went to another Earth and met Jay Garrick. That's kind of cool, though. So, like, it's see, there you go. It's a classic good old story. So this really feels like a Flash movie to me, which I, you know, I can, you know, I never complain about, you know, like, I would love more Flash movies. I mean, I'm still waiting to get an actual Flash movie. take a hint, Warner Brothers, what I'm saying.
You didn't like that one with all the Batman in it?
There was a movie with multiple Batman. I'm old now. I forget things. So I still want a Flash movie, and I want a good Flash movie. So, I also just love the animation style of the Tomorrowverse. So just, you know, getting to just jump into this world and see from Flash's point of view was when they don't have to worry about CW budget money and they just can do whatever they want in animation, it is just so much more refreshing, because I'm like, oh, good. I cannot tell that's a green screen. So,
important. Yeah. Could you imagine what the crab creature would have looked like on a CW budget? because I like to think about
we would get one crab. We would get one crab, if even that, a half crab.
It would have been like a real crab, but they like just they shot it like old school, like creature feature style.
Like Lord of the Rings, where like they basically make the like the normal size people look like hobbits.
Okay, I feel like we're ragging on the CW too much because they did have a dragon on Supergirl, and that was pretty good.
The dragon was
good.
I'm dragging more so a little bit off the Flash in the later seasons. Like that's true.
The more they went on the list, but
the longer the seasons went on, the more like everything was happening in one room.
To the point where we literally had bottle episodes, which they only had one set left.
So
we're supposed to call them interlude episodes, according to Eric Wallace. So you know, cool. But I love that again. You know, anytime they put Barry, you know, I think Barry Allen proves to still be a great leading character in any, you know, like we had the Flashpoint movie, which I still feel like should have just been called the Flash something, you know, but they had to market it as a Justice League movie. And this one, like, again, if Warner Bros. Just wanted to invest on the Flash in film, what a, you know, it would be great.
He's a good character. It's almost like he could carry a movie by himself.
or nine seasons.
So Morgan, what did you think about Barry going back to World War II and encountering the other Justice Society members?
Yeah, I wasn't sure what this movie was about when I started it. I didn't read the description. I was just like, let's do this. So I knew that like the world. So imagine my surprise when it starts in like modern day and I'm watching Justice Society World War II. And I was like, yeah, where's the World War though? He's like going on a picnic with Iris. He's like that. I don't think I had seen his remembered his character design from some of the other movies. So it's just, I was like, whoa, he's so jacked. I forgot about that. Barry, my God, stop going to the gym so much.
He can probably do weightlifting really fast. Like he can knock out so many bench presses.
Knock out a whole exercise in probably like 5 minutes. So I was also surprised that when he went to the past, I was like, oh, okay, we're in the past. But then the twist that it's not the past, it's a different universe. That surprised me. I wasn't expecting that one. I don't know why. I think in hindsight, there were clues. Because I did wonder about like the makeup of the Justice Society. I was like, what a random assortment of people in this Justice Society. Because you got Wonder Woman with her little bumpet. You got Black Canary. You have the classic Flash, the Jay Garrick Flash, but then like Hourman and Hawkbro. Like, why was Hawkbro there? Why was Black? I was confused. I think I feel like weirdly I was most confused by Black Canary because I feel like not usually is she usually a Justice Society character?
Yeah, she's one of the original members.
Okay, well then that makes sense.
That's her mom.
Yeah, that's Black Canary 1. There's two Black Canaries.
All right.
Oh, Rebecca, tell her about the names of the two Black Canaries. Let's see how confused that will be.
Well, there's Dinah Lance. Or wait, is Dinah Lance the original one?
No, that's Laurel. Laurel Lance is right. Then there's Dinah Drake.
But okay, yes, Dinah Drake. That is
confusing. Do you see now why they had to call her Laurel on there?
Yeah, that's confusing. I was also wondering, like as we went back in time, I was like, I don't know the Justice Society that well because I realized that like I thought it was a weird makeup for the team, and I was immediately like, but is it?
I'm curious, Morgan, what did you think of Hourman?
Oh, Hourman. My God, I love him. I'm obsessed with Hourman. I'm so sad that they decided that he only deserved like 5 lines in the movie. I felt like that wasn't fair, really. I also think it's really funny that in some ways this movie, it felt like didn't give you, it just thought you were going to know all this stuff. So like, you get thrown in. I don't think they really do a very good job of explaining like what his deal is or like what his powers are. And I knew it because I watched some Stargirl. So I had some background in Hourman lore, but I think if I had just kind of gone into this cold, I would have been a little bit confused about what his deal was. Because
they They do a quick thing where, like, he can only have his powers for an hour. Like,
and then they're, like, counting down in the beginning. They're like, we've only got 5 minutes left. I love Hour Man. What a ridiculous superhero he is. I love him.
Andy, outside of The Flash, outside of Jay Garrick, who's your favorite Justice Society member?
Okay, if I can't pick
Or of the members.
Can you pull up the image again? Can you pull up the image again, please?
Just to remember.
Yeah, I'm curious.
It's Black Canary, obviously. Because Hour Man, like, you know, first, that's not even my Hour Man. That's his father.
Right.
Morgan, there's a lot of fathers and parents in this family.
That actually does make some sense. I mean, Carter is just sort of forever, you know, Hawkbro. Hawkbro is forever. You can't really get rid of Hawkbro. He'll be back.
He sadly will. But you know, listen, I will, you know, if I can get a Flash movie where also I get Black Canary action, I might, you know. Hell yeah. Also, a little fun little fact, this actress, I am not going to even try to pronounce her name, but she was actually on Arrow in season 4 as part of Flashbacks. She played a character of Tiana, who was on Somewhere with Oliver, you know, which is a punishment in itself. But yeah.
True.
Brutal. Rough for her. You know, I looked at the voice cast at the end of the movie because I was like, okay, Matt Bomer, I got, and like, there was a couple of other people who were sort of like more well-known actors and actresses, but there's also some like voice talent that has like been in a lot of stuff. I was surprised to see Matt Mercer. If anybody is a Critical Role fan, Matt Mercer, I think, plays Hourman. And I don't think I put those that connection together. And it made me kind of want to like rewind to see if I could pick up the voice. But I was like, I'm not going to do all that. But if you're a Critical Role fan, Matt Mercer does a voice in this movie.
Speaking of Hour Man, Mind the Gap says in the chat, in James Robinson's Golden Age Hour Man, he had an addiction to the pills that gave him would give him powers.
Ooh.
Serious, weighty stuff from Hour Man.
Well, now I see it because, you know, they, I don't know if people remember this, but back in the early days of the Arrowverse, you know, when we were developing The Flash, they were also actually developing an Hour Man show. So I'm like, oh, that storyline would have made it right in there. I bet.
I bet it would have.
An Hour Man TV would have been great for an hour-long episode.
Honestly, it would have been like 24 style.
Every episode
starts.
Is that for sure the counselor?
Yes.
And then he could have been like, my God, I've only got 2 minutes left. And you'd be like, oh, only 2 minutes left in this episode.
And we cut the commercial. And they're like, only 30 seconds left.
I would watch it. I for sure would watch it. Also, Brian.
Would you podcast about it? Or would you do Hour Man podcast? What is that? That's the big question.
I mean, you have to keep it to a tight hour, Rebecca.
That's true. It had to be an hour long podcast.
We could get a little graphic that would up in the corner, which count down the hour.
If we weren't finished, we would be.
We would just cut it every time at the end of the hour.
Even if there was no room for like an outro, exactly.
We just got to cut it off.
We would never make an hour.
It would be bad, but now I kind of want to do this.
go for it. Do it. Challenge yourself.
We'll think about it. Okay, so also in the chat, speaking of Black Canary, Brian says there is a JLA issue where it turned out Black Canary was her own daughter.
This is like a 30 Rock joke. It doesn't
Amazing.
Even make sense.
I'm sure they could get you there.
That's
somehow.
Like some Legends of Tomorrow time travel stuff where it's like, wait, I don't think that's right.
Well, I can't wait a minute.
Andy's trying to like beautiful mind it down there. Just trying to like.
I don't know what that reference is to, but I'm like, wait a minute. How could she?
I don't think it's possible.
Now that I'm thinking too much about it, it's getting gross. This doesn't work. How could she be?
No. I don't.
It's not supposed to make sense. You're just supposed to go with
it's comic logic. Just mostly vibes.
It's like how some people say the Flash is faster than Supergirl. You just have to sometimes go with it, even though it makes no sense.
It doesn't make a lot of sense, but you just gotta go with it.
right. So
Elseworlds crap. What the hell?
So the only Justice Society member, or was he in the Justice Society? We'll have to fact check it. But Aquaman made an appearance in this
yes,
movie.
Yes, he did.
So Andy, what did you think about Aquaman in Justice Society World War II?
Disappointed.
Yes.
Mm. Yes. Fun fact, if any Spartacus fans out there, Liam McIntyre, who plays Spartacus on that show, he did Aquaman, if it turned out.
Oh.
Too bad I didn't like Aquaman.
He wasn't great in this one.
Once they said, this is Earth 2 and so on, I'm kind of like, oh, I wonder like which heroes are like around so on, because Wonder Woman makes sense. She's immortal. We've seen her in other DC interpretations where she's part of the war and stuff like that. But I was like, Aquaman. Okay. He was all right. I felt bad that he was just a slave to Psycho Pirate. It was just disappointing. It's because, because I like me and Liam McIntyre, because, I'm a Flash guy. He was a Widow Wizard. So, I'm like, oh, they just got him just to play a mindless henchman? Okay.
But the design, I think Andy dropped a spoiler in there.
In the Flash TV show, he played.
Is the guy who brainwashes Aquaman Psycho Pirate?
I did not know that.
That's what it said on IMDb.
IMDb blew up his spot.
when I looked up that character, he was known as the Advisor.
Ooh.
See, so, did he look like he was
desperately looking for a makeover?
That would give it away that he was Psycho Pirate.
This look is not right for me.
Because when I was like, who is the virus? I was like Googling on Twitter and people were like, I was reading like old GSA reviews and like someone said was like, this is a weird take on Psycho Pirate. Oh. And I'm like, it is a weird take. I did not know if that was.
No. That's really helpful.
I promise, Rebecca, I wouldn't spoil anything by going on today.
That's actually really helpful because, he was able to control Aquaman's emotions. He would make him angry and wanting to fight, and so that actually adds up now. So
yeah,
it could be the male versus the seal for all we know.
It's not. I did a little Googling, and Andy is right. Which again, I wouldn't have picked that up.
I was panicking. I was like, oh, Rebecca's gonna never let me come on again. I'm like, no.
To be fair, we are trying to understand the first Crisis movie, and I feel like this is a step in the right direction.
This is why we are doing this, is to understand it better.
He was there with Aquaman. He was like, this is not the look for me, this wetsuit look. Mm-mm. No.
I'm just relieved. I'm just relieved. But
finish your Aquaman thoughts.
Yeah. Cool design, boring as hell. I will happily take some more days from Moe if I can. But I'm glad he was at least free by the end.
Yeah, he's freed from his brainwashing when Wonder Woman breaks the trident, or the, was it 3 or 5 points? I couldn't tell.
I'm trying to remember.
I think it's 3. I think it was a trident.
I'm trying to remember because I remember when Zack Snyder corrected, people were like, nope, that's not a trident. That's a whatever.
Quintet or something. I don't know. Quindent.
His fork, I guess. I was kind of like, wait, that broke very easily for Atlantean technology, or Atlantean material. So I'm like, that, maybe there's a reason Aquaman has been a big joke in past comics, because he's trying to just bend, break it with the knee.
Wonder Woman is pretty strong, so I mean,
he is kind of a demigod.
Just sort of motivate it, I feel like.
But
I feel like we're being a little too harsh on Aquaman and all of his fish friends and
his I'm being too harsh. Look what Rebecca has in her title.
I mean, it's true though. I am disappointed in Aquaman. He sent Atlantean monsters after the city folk and the surface dwellers. Nice. Not very nice at all. Although I was impressed that Black Canary was able to do a canary cry so strong that it like tore through the flesh of one of those monsters and totally decimated it.
Was so cool. That was like probably my favorite part of the movie. And then I was like, why doesn't she just do this all the time? And then immediately after, she was like, boop, like head, like face planted like right into the ground. And I was like, oh, that's why. But what a cool moment.
Takes a lot out of her, I think. Yeah.
My favorite Aquaman moment is like when he comes out of it, instead of like looking around and trying to fix anything, he's like, my fish to the sea. His little like fish friend picks him up and is like, oh, I'm sorry, you're saying Aquaman. And then they both go down into the ocean. Like no apology or anything. Like, not even a my bad. He just nopes out of that whole thing. And in that way, with his Irish goodbye, I finally understood Aquaman. I was like, yeah, this is how I want to leave every party. Just silently.
Yeah, Aquaman maybe should have stayed and helped fight.
Just a perhaps a whoops or like a my bad, I think would have sufficed. But he was like, yeah, you know what? Oh my God, I just heard somebody calling my name. It's so
I've got
awkward.
A thing to get to.
I just gotta go. The little fish picks him up and brings him down into the sea.
Yeah,
very so relatable.
Aquaman not super heroic in this one, but he has an excuse. He was brainwashed by the advisor, aka Psycho Pirate. So that is what happened to him. Now, I guess since we talked about the Justice Society and some of the characters in that, I guess before, because I want to get Andy's take on Barry and Iris, but we'll save that for the end since the resolution to all that is kind of at the end of the movie.
Saving the best for last.
Yeah, so we'll save Barry and Iris for the end. The Justice Society, they have to fight monsters to save the world. But there are some casualties here in this movie. Actually, quite a few. One of them, unfortunately, being Brainiac. Right, Rachel, this is one of those things where maybe you should have watched the movie instead of just listen to the podcast, because Brainiac's death is real raw.
Yeah.
He gets a kryptonite right through his forehead. So that is the Flash kind of straight up murders him. But, you know, I guess Brainiac had it coming.
He really did.
So Brainiac kicks it in this one, and then Steve Trevor has a sad ending, and then also Hawkman. So Andy, what do you think about all of these demises of two heroes and a bad guy?
Well, I mean, I am, you know, as Barry Allen's representative, I would say that in a professional matter, I would say Brainiac made his bet and now he has to lie in it. So, you know, it's, you know, he threw the first punch. He was the one, you know, running around the city and blowing stuff up. I will say when he was killed, for some reason I was expecting his, you know, the two yellow eyes to start to go like, you know, dark, like as an actual robot. I'm like, why is he not turning off? I'm horrible. I think Steve Trevor is just not meant to live in any it's just like, you know, the good old, in live action animation, it's like this guy can't catch a break. And that's why I was like, when I found out it was like, you know, that advisor was like psychopath, I'm like, oh, he got killed by a random guy that I didn't even know was just another DC villain. I know, I feel like they were like kind of like they kill Steve off just to kind of like set up Clark and Diana, because I'm like, listen, I'm sensing something between those two. But rip Steve. And Hawkman, he will be fine. Like, he just, you know, he will be reborn in an egg, and then he will hatch and he will fly out again.
is that how that happens for him?
Oh, please let that be.
No, Rebecca, please. You think a grown man would just be reborn in an egg and just like, no, I
would buy it.
Just like he's like a little baby, pecks his way out.
I don't know how he usually comes back. I feel like he talks more about, you know, I will be reincarnated than admitted, but he talks about it more than we actually get to see it. Because I was wondering, like, well, okay, if he dies, does that mean that the heroes have to wait 30 years to meet Hawkman again? Or does he just suddenly come back? Or, like, also, like, how does he get who decides who's going to be his parents in his, you know, reincarnate state? So I'm thinking about it too much. I'm sorry. But he'll be fine. I guess, you know, but yeah. He's with Chihiro now.
Yeah, those are all fair questions. I think how does Aquaman come back if he's in an X? I think that's a really valid question. So someone should write that story if it doesn't already exist.
Yeah, let's do like a circle of life with Hawkbro and let's see what happened. Like, how does he come back? I think this is as we send pitches to DC, as we often do, Hawkbro coming back by pecking his way out of an egg. I think this is what the people want to see.
James Gunn, I'm just saying this would make for a great animated movie.
Listen.
does Hawkman have to like molt his feathers? Is there during a couple months of the year, his feathers just fall off and he can't fly?
He's just terrible around the house.
I know some versions of Hawkman, like those wings are like detachable, so like they're not actually. But the thing here, this is what gets so confusing.
Takes them off.
Morgan, literally Smallville. That's literally what Smallville had with him.
Oh my God, you're right.
He like, you know, because in that version he's not. Thanagarian. Okay. Yeah, he's from Fangar, therefore he is a Thanagarian. Okay, that makes sense. The grammar when you have to talk about fictional stuff is so confusing. But it's some version he is, you know, just, you know, he's a fictional, you know, he's from Fangar, he is an alien and so his wings obviously can be detached or they're part of them. But then there's something like, you know, Smallville, for example, where they were just literally just hanging in a closet.
I don't like that. I think he should be an actual bird.
Yeah, I think he should be a bird man. If he is Hawkman, he should be a man who is also a hawk.
You've got to commit to it. If you're going to be a man of a hawk.
Listen, I don't know, because I know, you know, Jeff Johns, he was the one who really reinvented the GSA. So I don't know if Hawkman before that, if maybe he actually was like, you know, like a mutant bird human thingy who could just swap between forms, but you know, that will be we have all these like biological questions about, like, you know, what happens during do the feathers drop, how do he feed his kid, does he do what other birds do and just get the worm?
Yeah, does he eat the food first and then like they give it to the baby ox?
Now I'm confused. Yeah, but you know, I didn't like necessarily cry for Hawkman. I was kind of just like, he will be fine.
His death must never have any real meaning to it, because everybody's like, he'll be fine.
And we'll see him again.
You know what was so cheesy? Because I was like, I felt this entire movie, they've been trying to do something with Hawkman and Black Canary because they're both bird characters. I'm like, is that the joke that I'm just missing? Or am I just reading too much into this because I've watched too many, you know, romances on the CW for like 15 years? But I was kind of like, why am I getting shipping vibes out of these two?
No, I was too, and I was like, I don't like it. I think I don't like this. No. You step away from her, sir.
Let her be with Larry.
Yeah, but it was also as he was dying, he was just like, you should date. listen, sir, don't tell me how to live my life. She could be a strong, independent, single woman. You don't know her.
Maybe it was Valentine's Day when he died. He was just like, you know, no one should be alone on Valentine's.
I hate to be the buzzkill, but that's actually part of the thematic journey that Barry Allen is going through. He says, love is the only thing worth living for. And I believe that is what Barry Allen learns after his journey to the other Earth back in time into World War II. And he learns from Hawkman and he learns from Diana and Steve that he should, you know, maybe commit to to Iris there at the end. And I guess maybe that's a good segue to talking about Barry and Iris. Andy, what did you think about their relationship in the movie and the outcome of it?
Well, first, I have to agree with something that Morgan said earlier, because I, you know, when this was the first time I saw the movie, but even now when I saw the movie just like last week again, I went, damn, he ripped.
That picnic scene, I was like, sir, what is going on? How often are you at the gym?
Too often, apparently, because that shirt
is a full size too small. That is a baby gap.
I will say this. Listen, I don't mind a little muscles on Barry. You know, listen, Grant Gustin in the latest season, like he bulked up. Like, you know, like he, you know, there was an episode where like, he was, you know, conveniently struggling to put on a t-shirt because, you know.
Oh no.
Because, you know, Caitlin was doing her little doctor thing, and you know, he's just kind of, you know, sitting, going back over, putting on. I'm just saying, damn, Grant, you're sure taking a lot of time to put on a simple shirt. I don't mind though.
He read that scene in an upcoming episode, and he was like,
No,
immediately stocked up on protein powder
during the pandemic. Like he was like, you know, working out because his wife is a physician or something. But I was kind of like, damn, like your speed is that you don't need to be no Superman here. Like, you know, you can be skinny and super, you know, fast punch them so quickly
you don't really see marathon runners like big bulky guys. They're usually like lanky. They're not like any guy out there.
I always like I know even the comics, like they will give him a six pack and stuff like that. I'm just like, okay, whatever. You know, we gotta do it, I guess. But I was kind of like, this time I was like, damn, this is just a little too.
We've gone too far.
You know, because I'm thinking like, would his muscles? Okay, again, this is how I don't know why I'm so much into science tonight. Like I was not even that paying attention to it in high school, but I was kind of like, if he burns calories quickly and everything and so on, wouldn't you, and you're building muscle, wouldn't those muscles kind of quickly disappear because you build them up so quickly?
Yeah, it seems like it would be hard for him to develop muscles.
Yeah,
feels like he would always be burning it off. Like, how much protein does this man have to eat?
He would have to eat a lot of protein. He
just always has, like a chicken in his pocket, pulling out.
You know, that will make sense. I mean, I did see. I remember I was talking to a friend of mine who watched the movie. Like when it came out, he was kind of like, "Damn, did Zack Snyder do this?" Because you know, Zack Snyder likes to build up his superheroes. I'm like, you know, that would be on point if Zach was the one. I'd be like, he should be ripped.
He could be buffer.
Yeah, he could be, you know, he could be big, but you know what? He could be bigger and we can go there. But no, for me as a Flash fan, like because I didn't know that Iris was going to be in the movie. I didn't know they were going to make Iris Black like a TV show. And so like, of course, the West Island family, I'm like, oh my God, they're literally just bringing the best elements from the TV show. And apparently when I spoke to the creative team who did Crisis, I said, you know, because the West Island fans, like, listen, the days the trailer came out and there was all those parallels to West Island and The Flash, they were eating it up. So, you know, but they said that it was on purpose that they were drawing inspiration from the show. So it makes sense that they hear it when we see her for the first time. It, you know, they're reflecting that. But yeah, I thought it was so cute. And, but of course, I'm like, yeah, of course she's upset that Barry cannot commit. I would be too. And then they proposed and I was like, I still have PTSD from Crisis on Earth X, where I was like, someone is going to interrupt this. I'm not going to get what I want. So I was like, I started looking, like, I paused the scene and started looking in all the corners. I'm like, did the animators put any random? I'm like, is there any random characters in the background that you drew in there? But no, they actually got a piece.
Is Oliver in there? Oliver! Felicity, no!
Yeah. I cannot, listen, I love Emily Ricard. I like Felicity for the most part, but that character needs to stay away from all DC media.
Honestly, one of the funniest things I've ever seen is them taking over the wedding with their own wedding.
And then a couple of episodes later, I heard they had their own wedding on Arrow.
Literally,
of course, they had two weddings.
Following week. And I was like, I was about to like go on my Flash Pocket Twitter account and I was gonna add the Arrow writers. I'm like, are you effing kidding me? I was about to get mad, but I'm like, you know what? I shouldn't watch TV and while being mad. So like I just didn't do it. But
just walk it off.
It was so sweet. It was so cute. I was like, first of all, Barry, how could you afford that ring? You're a CSI. I don't believe this.
Well, I mean, I think that there's a pretty obvious reason how he afforded the ring. I'm gonna just point to my subhead, which is that he got that as a regift, and I think, didn't he just give it to Iris?
Yeah, so
in Steve Trevor's ring.
So
in, what does regifting mean here?
So regifting is like when somebody gives you a present and you're like, I love it so much. And then you go home and you're like, I don't want this. And then you give it and then you put it in a little bag and you give it to one of your friends and you're like, I saw it and I thought of you. and I have never done that before. but it's basically like somebody gives you a gift that you don't really want and you just give it away to somebody else.
That is so mean, but so genius.
It is genius because, see, you have this thing that you don't really have a use for. And maybe your friend does. Or maybe they don't and they continue the cycle. And then,
they just keep and then giving
the fear is that eventually gets back to you at some point.
I mean, my 30 years of living on this planet, as if I'm an alien, like, in my 30 years of just being alive, I never knew this was actually a thing we humans do.
Yeah, for Christmas one year, I got a lot, and I'm just going to say a lot of those big candles that you get from Bed Bath & Beyond, like the one Bath & Body Works, like the three-wick candles, and they're great, but no one needs as many as I got. and so for many years, people just would get a big candle along with their other gifts.
Now I know what I'm getting Morgan for her birthday.
If you ever get a big candle, I was going to say, if you ever get a big candle from me, congrats.
And suddenly, suddenly I get a package from Morgan, like, you know, Andy, I was just thinking about you today.
Andy, I was thinking about you, and I got you this big candle. I hope you like it.
Why does it say to Morgan from Rebecca? You're like, oh, we're just role playing.
Oh yeah, you always take the label off of that thing. That's an amateur re-gift.
Re-gifting. That is wow. That is genius. I may have to. I mean, of course, I'm not going to do that.
You would never do it personally. You would never do it, but it is convenient, is the thing. However, I wouldn't necessarily recommend for a thing that you're regifting for it to be an engagement ring. That felt. I also thought it was really funny that, like, not funny, but like a little dark, that the whole movie, Steve Trevor is like, Diana, marry me. Like, marry me. And Wonder Woman's like, not now, not now. This is like a fun thing that we do. Steve's like, to me, it's not, though. It's not fun. And she's like, we laugh about it so much. He's like, I'm literally not laughing. And then as he's dying, he's like, will you marry me? She doesn't answer.
Nope.
And then,
that is so cruel.
Which is cold. And then he, like, before he can put the ring on her finger, he doesn't even get the satisfaction of putting that ring on her finger because he just dies. And then so she just picks up the ring. And, like, you would think that this ring would be intensely meaningful to her. And instead, mere minutes later, she goes over to Barry and she's like, you want it? Wonder Woman was cold in this movie. Wonder Woman was ice cold.
I have a theory. She is, you know, that meme when there is like there's like a boyfriend who has a girlfriend and he turns around and sees someone, you know, and she gets jealous. I think Diana became that meme when she saw Superman walk in. She was like,
oh, hello.
you can fly too? Oh yeah, I can work with that.
She takes the ring. She just like hands it off.
That went over my head so much. Like that, I'm like, oh, ew. Barry gave her like a ring from a dead man.
What you're supposed to be is like, oh, it's love, and she should have accepted that love from Steve, and now she's saying like, don't make the same mistake that I made. Like if you have somebody in your life, you should commit to them, and you should be with them, and you should like pass this love on. Like, I got the thematic elements, but the actual specifics of it, I thought were like a little dark. I was like, you're gonna give away the ring he's been of your dead boyfriend who died literally minutes ago.
She could have maybe wrestled with it for a little bit. She could have been like, really want to keep this, but I think you need it more.
I think you need this more.
But you know what it says? It means that she looked at her other teammate and were like, nah, you're not getting laid. You're not getting married. I'm not giving this to you. She was just like, let me give it to the guy I just met a day ago.
Sir, you look sad. Do you want this ring? It's very meaningful to me.
Yeah. Jane Garrick ain't getting no love at home. You should have it. Like, it was honestly, because if that happened to me, if I was somehow in that mindset, I would think, Well, which one of my longtime comrades could I give this to? Nah, screw them. I'm going to give it to this random boy from another universe who just, you know, came in like 24 hours ago. So
I think, you know what? I think that what they missed doing is setting up like a deep emotional connection between Wonder Woman and this version of the Flash, which I think could have paid off in that moment where she was like, you know, you, my new best friend, who I've had a lot in common with, I'm going to give you this ring, you know, so you don't make the same mistakes as I do. But they didn't really have that connection in the movie.
There's one scene where Wonder Woman and the Flash talk about Steve's proposals, and the Flash says, I think Wonder Woman says something like he doesn't know what he's asking, and the Flash is trying to tell her like this means a lot to Steve. There's one scene that I think you could maybe connect to that, but it is a little bit of a stretch. I would agree.
And I just felt bad for Steve, honestly. Steve, it was like, it was kind of like that saying, he's just not that into you, but like with Wonder Woman, where it did feel like maybe she just wasn't that into Steve. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think it was as cute and quirky as they thought it would. Like, oh, we're going to establish their fun relationship where he's constantly proposing and she's constantly turning him down. I was like, on some level, one of these things has to stop, right?
and it does, because he predicts his death several times. He says,
he does, yeah.
If she ever does say yes, I might drop dead from shock. Ooh. He also says, everybody's got to die sometime, princess. And he also says, if I die, it'll be for something I believe in. So wow. It's very much put in there in the dialogue that he is going to drop dead.
Wow.
He may
as well have just said, you know, like, I'll propose till death do us apart.
That was a missed opportunity. I kind of can't believe that they didn't throw that one in there.
They really went up to that line and didn't
release the apart card.
I also laughed like after he got stabbed with, I'm just going to go with Andy's, the giant fork, because I don't know what it's called. But he just gets impaled on that thing. And he's like on the ground and the Flash runs by and Steve's just like, I'm okay. and the Flash is like, cool, buddy, and just keeps going. And I don't know why that made me laugh so hard, but I'm like, he's clearly not okay.
Hey, James Gunn, whenever you bring Steve Trevor in, don't do any of this.
Let don't Steve do it, Jeff. It's really a rough movie for Steve Trevor.
I feel like he's always like going through the motion in any DC adaptation. Like, you know, poor Chris Pine dies. It comes back in some other dude's body. How would that work? God, that movie was so stupid.
It wasn't great.
why was it called 1984 again? Who knows? We will never know.
It was in a 1984. I think that's pretty much the biggest connection.
But there's nothing about it. I even showed that movie to my, like, bits and pieces of that movie to my mother. I'm like, what year do you think this is? And she's like, how am I supposed to know? I'm like, me too.
You know all those quintessentially 1984 things that were in there? Like, malls.
To be fair, they had like an old like a Mellow Yellow logo at one point.
Okay.
Yeah, so
all right, we're getting some 80s in there.
They were in a mall. They were in a shopping mall.
I just remember how disappointed we were in the lack of like 80s music. Like they really needed to up.
They had Hans Zimmer in there. He was in the first music video. Video killed the radio star, and they didn't have him do 80s stuff.
It's wild.
Wait. Hans Zimmer did a music video where he was actually in it.
He is, so the very first music video that ever aired on MTV was a music video by a band called The Buggles titled Video Killed the Radio Star. Ironically, I guess, Video Killed the Radio Star was the first music video, and it has Hans Zimmer in it, and I think he's playing the keyboard. So,
I did not know that.
They should have let him loose on 80s.
MTV star Hans Zimmer.
Yeah, look it up. I can't pull it up on the screen
because
of my weird
stringer.
That is
so crazy. So he says he can be briefly seen wearing black and playing a keyboard.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Get ready for a live reaction of, oh my God. Damn, he popping that leather jacket, though.
If anybody should
have stylish man.
If anybody should have done 80s music, it would have been a good time for Hans Zimmer.
That's so true.
Now I'm wondering, like, why the hell did he get to Squirrel Wonder Woman at this point? Anyway, poor Steve Trevor. He could not catch a break. Next time we see him in any media, let him just be happy. Or you know what? Maybe he and Diana ain't it. Maybe they're just not meant to be.
Maybe it's him and Etta Candy. I could see it.
Oh, I love Etta Candy.
Everyone loves Etta Candy.
Okay. All right. Let's get to some overall thoughts. And this is, you can say how you felt about this movie. Would you recommend it to people? Would you watch it again? Also, this is a point. If we didn't talk about something you wanted to talk about, this is your floor. So, Andy, overall thoughts.
I loved that this was a Flash movie. This was a good Flash movie. And then the fact that we had the summer movie afterward, I'm like, how did it go so wrong? So yes, I recommend this to anyone if they love the Flash, if they love the JSA, if they love seeing Diana being a bully.
She's a little mean in this one. Yeah, she's just a little mean.
Diana is that she is voiced by Sana Kotick, who, you know, I mean, we love her. What was the show
she was on? She was on Castle.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
She's Beckett on Castle.
She played Wonder Woman. Nathan Fillion literally played Steve Trevor in the Wonder Woman animated movie several years.
Oh.
Damn.
Ships passing in the night.
Didn't they like not like each other by the end of Castle?
They did not like each other. I'm sure they would not have signed up to be on the same animated movie.
If they were playing Wonder Woman and Steve Trevor in live action, I'm sure that proposal would be bloodier.
If they had been in this version, I would have understood all of the all of the turned down proposals.
But no, I would recommend this movie for anyone who loves The Flash, especially the JSA, because this was also a fun JSA movie, even though I felt kind of betrayed the fact that it was Earth 2 and not, like, I was really committed. But at the same time, I'm not happy with it, but also I love the fact that they remember, oh, he can travel between Earths. So it's a good JSA movie. It's also it's just a good animated movie. Like, I love the Tomorrowverse animation so much, which is why I'm like, I'm sad this is, I hope this isn't a spoiler, but I'm sad that Tomorrowverse is ending, because like, it's a clean, fresh animation style, and the only negative I would give it, it's like there are a lot of stories that are a little rushed. Again, like you know, when Rebecca was talking about the one scene Baron and Diana are connecting, and I'm like, oh, that went over my head because I didn't really think of that as them like really connecting. I thought it was just like they're just trying to kill time when we needed more time for this movie. So yeah, I would say, well, what is the rating scale we're going on?
You can do whatever rating scale you want to. You can do numbers, letters, emojis, whatever you want to do.
Emojis. I will give this 5 out of 5 non-regifted engagement rings.
Okay.
I will get what's the highest carat you can get on the ring?
You have the 14 carat? Maybe. Is there anything higher than a 14 carat?
I thought 40 stuff. Like, I was about to say 90 carat, but I don't know how much.
What's the highest carat? I don't know.
I don't know about diamonds, though.
I don't know about gold.
Oh, yeah. 5 out of 5 non-regifted engagement rings to this movie. And I kind of wish there had been like now just like a proper just a JSA movie where we see more members. But Warner Brothers doesn't love us. So.
All right, Morgan, what are your overall thoughts? This is going to also include things you wanted to talk about that we didn't. So what did you think?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was like Andy said, I think it was a good Flash movie. I liked seeing both versions of the Flash. That's always fun. I'm always kind of a sucker for that. Like, oh, there's two versions of you. And I liked when they figured out how to work together with their like Speed Force powers and stuff like that. I thought that was cool that our entry point version of the Flash who comes into the story knows how to do some things. And then the Jay Garrick version knows how to do other things. That I thought was really cool, and that they're like teaching each other. So I liked all the Flash stuff. I thought Wonder Woman was a little bit rough in this movie, honestly. Like, and it's not just because of her bump it hairdo that reminded me of Snooki. I was like, I flashed back to the early 2000s. And it was too real for me.
this look here,
where her hair is like kind of bumped up. So there is a time.
Her tiara that's holding her hair up, it has to bump it.
So there was a dark time in our society, Andy, where girls were just doing this to their hair to like go out to the club. They would like put a little thing in it called a bump it, and then they would build their hair up on top of the bump it. And then that was the hairstyle. If you look up like Snooki from the Jersey Shore, like early 2000s, this was like a whole thing. And it just took me back there. And I was like, why is her hair like that? I don't like it. This is just a purely aesthetic complaint. I just didn't like, being reminded of that dark time.
That's
that
fair.
That doesn't sound comfortable.
I don't think it was. I didn't try it. Thank God.
It sounds like I would get a headache from it if I was doing it.
It seems like a lot of effort to get your hair high up into the air. But
I just wanted to comb it up really high. But I'm like, damn, that's commitment, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, she's got to put her hair up some way to do all the fighting. So.
Exactly. She's like, you know what? I'm going to get some volume. Like, what am I going to have flat hair while I fight?
I guess Earth 2 doesn't have L'Oreal and then we're in Earth.
Yeah, I feel like the Steve Trevor and Diana stuff, just I kind of got what they were going for. And I think they wanted it to be like kind of cute and like flirty. But to me, it just felt mean. I don't know if I'm just too sensitive for what they were going for. But I was like, be nice to that man. Do you even like him? And I also was like surprised by the Superman reveal, which I don't think we really talked about.
Oh, yeah. No, we didn't. Shakespeare.
But in this version of reality, Superman is just a mild-mannered reporter. And he doesn't do any Superman things. And
he has a camera, though.
He has a camera and a pencil mustache, which does not look great. And so I didn't even pick up that it was supposed to be Superman, honestly, until he was getting shot with bullets that just kind of ricocheted off of him. And I was like, wait, what? That pencil mustache is better than the glasses. I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
What happened to the mustache when he became Superman? Because it was like, I need to shave it off first.
The
world is ending, but let me shave first.
Listen, he had some weird priorities. He was like, all of this destruction that I could help out with, not my problem. I'm just here for the story. I was like, I feel like we need a little bit more. Like, he had a tragic backstory that, like, the Kents had died and he had grown up.
He went
up
to
in,
an
like,
orphanage.
He grew up in an
that
orphanage.
That sounds familiar. Almost like Linda Danvers having to go, or Linda Lee having to go to the Midvale orphanage because a cousin Superman didn't want to deal with her.
I know. It kind of sucks when that happens, doesn't it, Clark? But she turned out just fine. She was still
doing science experiments in the orphanage.
Yeah, I felt like they needed to, I don't know. I felt like that reveal needed something more to it, because it felt like a big reveal and then he just kind of disappears for much of the movie and then comes back conveniently to save the day and be like, hey, and like wink at Wonder Woman as she slowly hands the ring off screen. Oh, this old thing. She throws it behind her. The Superman thing kind of threw me for a bit of a loop. I felt like it needed some more explaining. I think that was kind of, I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was fun. Suddenly when there was giant crabs that they had to fight, I was like, this is sick. This is my stuff. But I felt like it needed a little bit, like some of the character stuff needed a little bit more. And I think they really struggled to do that in like, I don't even think this one was 90 minutes. I think this was like 85 minutes or something. So they, you know, I usually love a tight 90. This is a thing everyone knows about me. But this one, I was like
84 minutes.
84. I was like, maybe this one needed a little bit more than the 90, because you had a lot of characters. They had a lot of characters in there. They were doing a lot of wacky things with the characters. Like everybody was new. So I feel like just to kind of get there emotionally, like we needed a little bit more time to like, oh, okay, like let's learn more about this version of Clark. Oh, he's gone. He's gone to shave his mustache for the, like for an hour. Sure. Okay. Also, where did he get the suit?
Oh, okay. So there is a little boy in a prison cell who gives him a package. Do you not remember this?
No. Honestly, okay. No.
So there's a scene in the movie where a little boy in a prison cell gives him this package, and the package has his Superman suit in it, gets sent to the little boy in the prison cell by Dr. Fate, apparently. I'm not quite sure, but I think the little boy in the prison cell is Kamandi, who we are going to be talking about, who also has a short that we are going to be watching. Well, so I don't know if that's the same character. But there's a little boy who gives him.
No, you're right. I completely forgot about it. Again, there's a lot happening in this movie. Like, they're in a different time period. There's two of the Flashes. Like, there's all these characters. Now there's crab people that they have to fight. Like, it's more than halfway through the movie, I think, before, like, we get to, like, Aquaman is evil. Like, that's a pretty big thing. Now they're fighting all the aqua people. Some of the story beats happen so fast, it's like almost impossible to like track it.
Yeah, it's very quick. I had to go back and rewatch it because I was like, who sent him the package?
I didn't even notice.
Why did he have it? Why did he have it?
Because Dr. Fate, I guess, needed him to become Superman. So he sent him a suit.
But why did he send it to the kid to give it to him?
That's a good question.
Who is this kid? Now I need to know, like, who the heck is Kamandi?
We're going to find out.
We're going to find out. We're going to watch it.
Why does he have a short?
I don't know. He's somehow connected to this universe. And that is why we are doing this project. I enjoyed this movie. I love the 1940s. I love that decade. Even though there were some terrible things that went on in the 1940s, I do like 1940s movies and the fashion of the 1940s. And I really enjoyed the opening titles sequence.
That was so cool.
With the visual aesthetic of like a 1940s newsreel. They really played up the 1940s. Even at the end, during the closing credits, they had like an American flag waving in on the kind of the top part of the screen as the credits rolled. So I really, really enjoyed the visual aesthetics of that. And I thought, I agree with Andy, the animation here I thought was really impressive. There's a couple of action sequences where like Wonder Woman is fighting Nazis in her first big fight sequence. That was amazing for animation. I think they maybe stole a little bit from the Wonder Woman 2017 movie.
Yes, I was about to say, I thought as I was watching it, I was like, this feels very familiar. This is like the sequence from the first Wonder Woman movie. But
they're
cool
in France. They're in France. There's a church in the background. She crashes through like
a window.
Glass. Yeah. So there are some elements of it that were very much the Gal Gadot Wonder Woman version, which I have no complaints about. I thought it was great. There's also a good sequence where Barry takes on 5 Nazis at once in slow motion. Thought that was fantastic. Cool. And the Wonder Woman Aquaman fight underwater. And even when they're fighting before Steve, RIP, dies, their fights were really explosive. And I thought that was really appropriate because this is an Atlantean king and an Amazon demigoddess, and their punches and pushing each other through the wall should have an impact. So I thought all of the fight sequences are really good in this movie. The only quibble that I have is that there's one moment in the movie where Wonder Woman wants the American military to give the soldiers all the credit when the Justice League really did all the heavy lifting and the fighting. And she says the humans, you know, saved the civilians. But it seems like she doesn't think that they did any of the hard stuff. And I started to wonder, as somebody whose great uncle died as a fighter pilot in 1943 and is buried in the Netherlands American Cemetery as an American pilot during World War II, it's sort of, I took offense to that on behalf of the actual real heroes from the real World War II, where it sort of seemed like, I don't think the movie was maybe trying to make this point, but it seemed like without the superheroes, they wouldn't have won the war. And maybe on this earth, they wouldn't have. But I just sort of took that as an insult to all the brave people who actually saved the world during World War II. And so that was my, it was a pretty big quibble, but I did I did take a little bit of offense to that. And I think that's a common problem with a lot of these superhero movies that are set or you know, stories set during these big real world events, where it's like, I don't know, we took care of business during World War II. We handled it just fine without superheroes. So, but I will say the superheroes came in real handy with the giant Atlantean creatures.
Yeah, when a giant sea creature, you know, comes out, that's when you're going to want to call in our man.
I would have been fine if Wonder Woman had said that bit about giving the soldiers credit during the big monster fight at the end. But when it's just like fighting Nazis in the village, I think the American soldiers could have handled that just fine. So that was my biggest qualm here.
I just thought of one qualm that I had, and I want to just throw this up on the screen. It's a comic it's just a comic cover. There's nothing. Don't worry. There's no spoiler from any upcoming movies or anything. I promise. There was this one missed opportunity. You have Jay Garrick, you have Barry Allen, and you're telling me that nobody in that department fan, you know what would be a cool moment to adapt? Flash issue 1, 2, 3. Mm.
Yeah, I am surprised. I feel like anytime I see those two characters in like media, they try to do this comic cover. So I was a little surprised. Yeah,
we've had it once. Yeah. It was on the Flash season 2, but it's in context. It is so ridiculous because all that happens is that Patty yells like, you know, Flash, and they say, I'm coming. But then they just run, like they just jog over normally. And I'm like, this looks so stupid. And it's not even, it wasn't even the real Jay Garrick. It was Zoom the entire time. So I'm like, you know, I didn't get it on the Flash TV show properly. You know, F me for what, you know, when we had a Flash movie last year that literally had Jay Garrick in it. You know,
no,
but yeah, no, you could have done that here in the World War II movie where they're saving people in these villages. Yeah, could have
so
done
easily.
It.
They could have saved. Come on, you fall like hair. Bless you. I was just like, you know what, Andy? It's fine. Like, you know, you had, be lucky you got 9 seasons of a TV show. You know, you just don't get to see one of your favorite comic covers come to life. Even animation. It's just, you know what? We're in the Warner Bros. Discovery era right now. Everything is a tax write-up. This was probably a scene that we're like, you know what?
That's fair. I think they could have squeezed it in if they wanted to. Before we wrap up our discussion, I thought we could hop in the chat and get to some comments here. Kenny says, anytime we get to see more of Jay Garrick Flash, the better. I would agree. I enjoy seeing Jay Garrick in there. Mind the Gap says, this is when the Tomorrowverse starts a nasty habit of changing heroes to villains for their movies, and it gets old fast. So we'll have to keep an eye out for that.
Which movie is this movie number 2 or 3 in the Tomorrowverse?
So Superman, Man of Tomorrow. Then we watched Adam Strange the second thing?
I think so. Yeah. So
I think this is the third time.
This is our third one.
So yeah. Batman comes later?
Yeah, I think the Batman stuff comes later. Yeah. So I'm trying to go. I think we're going by like the release date of these things.
No, don't do this chronologically. It will not make any sense.
Yeah, we're going release dates on these. Mind the Gap also says the writer said there was no romantic intention between Hawkman and Canary, but then she saw how romantic it was. Yeah, I liked the bird team up. I was in favor of it. Brian says I wish Supergirl Radio would publish fan fiction.
I mean, yeah,
we would have some wild stuff.
I think we should just do it. I think we talked about it before about doing an episode of just like pitches, like
just like the craziest,
workshopping.
The best pitches that we can come up with.
See if we can actually write a story. New Rachel says, wasn't Stanna Katic also Lois Lane in Superman Unbound? She definitely was. So she's been in the DC world a little bit. Mark says 24K gold is pure gold. For diamonds, I think carat is a weight, so there is no effective limit. So thank you for chiming in on that.
So 200 carat.
Okay, we'll go with that in terms of the rating system. Well, I think before we get out of here, I'm trying to find my snap judgments here. Andy, would you like to make some snap judgments with us?
That means yes.
In the game of snap judgments, each person is presented with two options, but must only choose one. First instincts are recommended and explanations are unnecessary.
So we have some Justice Society, World War II related snap judgments. So our first one, would you rather time travel to another Earth during World War II or visit with Aquaman in Atlantis?
Andy, you get to go first.
I guess Atlantis, but again, I don't know if, you know, if they have short fuses, you know, so, you know, because that could become a war in itself. But, you know, I, you know, being underwater seems cool.
I would not want to be underwater. I don't think I would do well in a submarine situation or like a vessel underwater. I went snorkeling once. It was fine. I think I did okay.
Your face is something completely different. It was fun.
I snorkeled in the Great Barrier Reef. So that was, it was, but I was a younger person then. I don't think it's an old lady now. I think I would do it. I also like the 1940s aesthetic. I would maybe go back to World War II, even though that was probably the hardest time to live as a human being.
Probably.
But I think if I had to choose, I would not want to be underwater with brainwashed Nazi Aquaman. So I think I'm going to go time travel to another Earth.
Yeah, I don't want to be there during the war. It feels like a bad time. Like the fashion, amazing. The war, bad. However, and the hair, I can't take the bumpets. But I did grow up with the Little Mermaid, so I do feel like I'm ready to go under the sea. I want to see a little crab play a xylophone. I'm not sure that that's quite the vibe in Atlantis, but like, what if I went down there and I was just like, this is a fork. And then like everyone freaked out. Like, right? Like, it could happen.
You are Team Mermaid.
I am Team Mermaid. So I feel like I have to represent my team.
Now I understand what I came from you and Sarah. Now I need you to hear what Sarah's werewolf connection came from.
Werewolves are great. She just
I'm Team Werewolf. You know, remember the time when Morgan tried to say that you were Team Mermaid, Rebecca?
And I was insulted.
I tried to give a YouTuber apology on this show.
I'm really sorry about what I did to all the werewolves out there.
I'm sorry if I offended you.
I'm so sorry if I offended you.
It's all forgiven.
Thank you. Okay, so our next snap judgment is, which Justice Leaguer from this story would you want to see another Tomorrowverse movie focus on? Black Canary or my man Hourman?
Andy, this is a hard one.
Listen, I'm all here for Black Canary. I want to know who the frack Larry was. I was like, why did they just dump on some dude named Larry?
He's canonically her husband. He's a policeman, I think, that she marries.
Wait.
The Golden Age Canary.
Is Larry Lance supposed to be Quentin Lance?
So they were sort of riffing off of him, I think. Yeah, but I think Larry Lance is a police officer. Well, look it up. Fact check me.
I believe you. I just like, wait, hold on. His name is Quentin Larry Lance.
Oh, really?
I kid you not.
That's funny.
I just felt like they created a random-ass character in the show and the random-ass character on this movie, but no, Quentin Larry Lance.
But that makes sense.
Like, where is Larry his middle name? So she called it.
That makes sense, though. If Laurel on Arrow was supposed to be the second Black Canary, her mother would have been the first Black Canary, who was then married to Larry Quentin Lance, or Quentin Larry
makes
Lance.
Makes sense.
Well, also,
lines up for me.
Well, there's one where he's called Lawrence Lance, and then there's one in the New 52 where he's, excuse me, Kurt Lance. So I'm like,
Kurt, where did Kurt come from?
The New 52 is what happened. It's a Larry Ladd. That is such a bad combination. Yeah, you know what? I'm here to see the epic love story between Larry and Dinah, the rom-com we all deserved in the Tomorrowverse. And yep.
I would normally say Black Canary. I love Black Canary. She is one of my favorite DC characters. But the idea of having an Hourman movie that's an hour long.
Oh, my God, Rebecca.
I couldn't pass it up. I couldn't pass it up.
I feel betrayed.
Starts at the beginning of the hour and just ends abruptly at the end.
That actually, I would want to see them accomplish that.
So this is a very hard choice for me as well, because I love Black Canary, and she needs more love. She needs more movies. However, Hourman, he's a star, baby. And we can't hide his light. You know, look at him. He's so beautiful. I love the idea. I love the idea of having a movie. It's exactly an hour. There's a counter up at the top, so you always know how much longer is left in the movie. I think an Hourman movie could be incredible. I think that there's so many places you could go in that hour.
Did I miss some episode of Supergirl Radio in the last couple of weeks where she just got on the Hourman soapbox? Like, where did this
this just came from? This movie. I think he's a great guy.
Because I'm like, wait a minute, and like, I feel like I'm missing a joke here, or like either she really loved the Hourman on Stargirl, or like there was some storyline in this movie that I just missed.
I just like the aspect of the hour, like the tight hour. It's just really funny. It's like, oh, 30 seconds left. It's like me trying to get something done really quickly.
Or what if it was like a tight 90, but his powers run out at the hour mark, and then you're just 30 minutes of just a normal dude.
What? Yes.
I think that movie is called Madam Web.
So you're just watching 30 minutes of a guy who has no powers.
He's like phoning a friend.
I like that even better.
Or he like accomplishes his task, but in the last half hour, we just like go see him go get a cup of coffee, and
he like sits in front of a fireplace.
He's just like, relaxing, and then you're just watching him watch TV for 20 minutes.
Listen, the more you all keep mentioning this, I'm like, now this, you know, if this had become a TV show, or heck, they were actually trying to do an Hourman movie a couple years ago, I'm like, this would have been so stupid. How would this have worked?
I'm into it.
Stupid or brilliant. These are a lot of our pitches, by the way, is so we ask that question.
Mind the Gaps.
I saw Mind the Gaps comment. I wanted to bring it up as we were talking about Hourman. Mind the Gaps says, I think Arrow season 2 also was setting up Hourman because they had that Mirakuru, and Hourman's pills are called Miraclo.
Yes, I think so.
Miraclo.
So, that's a terrible name, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think he would have sounded as well hearing Slade Wilson, you know, because he was yelling, you know, Mirakuru. I don't know if that word would have been as effective.
Yeah, Mirakuru is maybe better for the island that he was on. But yeah,
No. The island is Lian Yu, Rebecca.
Lian Yu. Okay. Yeah. Well,
that was like the one good thing about the flashbacks, and they all sucked. It was Lost, but in DC.
don't even compare Arrow to Lost. Shame on you.
All we needed was some, what was that thing? Like a cloud monster.
A smoke monster. One of the greatest all-time TV characters.
I watched one of those like crack videos.
Have you not watched Lost?
Listen, I just this year got to 30 Rock. Listen, there's
good for you.
Yeah. Great, I'm trying to get on Rebecca Johnson's, through her list of shows. So, like, nice. Because I've been texting her every day when I was watching 30 Rock. I had to stop watching season 7 because I'm like, I don't want this to end because it's so damn short.
It's so good.
But damn it, you know, I will do Law. You know, I will watch Laws after 30 Rock if we all do a pilot pod on that, just for giggles and
you
giggles.
You don't have to tell me to watch the Lost pilot. I'm always just doing it. just always in the process of watching Lost.
But I will make I will make this legal verbal agreement on this podcast.
Maybe do it for a Patreon.
Let's do it. And I will watch the pilot right after 30 Rock whenever I decide to finally. I don't want to say goodbye to it. It's so mean that it's only 13 episodes. I'm like, how do you say goodbye to the greatest comedy of our generation with 13 episodes?
They stick the landing, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think the series finale really stays true to the show and ends in a really great way. So you're in for a treat if you haven't watched it.
Such a good show.
I'm going to transition us out of 30 Rock.
Why can't we talk about 30 Rock for another hour? If I had an hour pill, I would have us talk about 30 Rock.
You're stuck here with me for an hour. It's called 30 Rock.
Yeah, no, guys, please, as someone who just has watched it for the first time, please, there's no comedy can beat it. Like, you know, F. Chuck Lorre or whatever else we have today, this is the best comedy of our generation. Sheldon Cooper could never.
It is truly one of the funniest comedies I think that's ever been made. You'll watch an episode of 30 Rock, and I've actually been rewatching the first season recently, and like when you rewatch episodes, you'll pick up on jokes you missed the first time around because there's so many jokes in like every single scene. It's just such a funny show.
It's one of the best.
All right, last snap judgment. If you could bring one of the characters who died back to life, but only one, which would you pick, Hawkman or Steve Trevor?
Oh, wow. No love for Hourman suddenly.
Did he die?
No, Hourman didn't die. He was maimed.
He
put some pressure on it. He was fine.
He was just maimed for an hour. I would say Steve. Like, come on. A brother needs some love. From not Diana, from someone else.
Or should we make this snap judgment about Brainiac or Steve Trevor? Because Hawkman, I guess, does.
Rebecca.
None of us are. I mean, well, he's a good villain.
I mean, look at him.
Look, he's got a great outfit.
Look, I like Brainiac.
Why is he wearing shoulder pads?
Oh, why not? He wants to feel powerful.
he doesn't need shoulder pads.
We know that your power is all through your shoulders.
Your shoulders. We've established this very well.
That means that he wasn't showing his shoulders. He was hiding his shoulders with shoulder pads.
That's why he died.
If he had been showing,
he would not survive boredom ballroom.
He lost the boardroom or ballroom.
Okay, so, all right, I guess let's do this again, Andy, just in case this changes the answer for you. Who would you bring back, Brainiac, Hawkman, or Steve Trevor? Would it still be Steve Trevor if we added Brainiac into the mix?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I may be bringing Brainiac back. I think we had so little time with him, and I think maybe I would bring him back, yeah.
Let's see Brainiac again. Let's take it back to the tape. I mean, that his outfit is like, it's giving couture. Like, look at his waist is very snatched, by the way. Like, I don't think his proportions make sense, but
he is a robot.
He is a robot. He's a high fashion robot. So I want to say Steve Trevor. I'm gonna say Steve Trevor. I'm gonna give it to Steve because I feel like he got done dirty in this movie. I feel like Diana wasn't very nice to him, and he died before he could even put the ring on her finger. So I would bring Steve back, if only to make things really awkward between Diana and Superman. Like, you know, they're flirting in the corner, and Steve's like, "I'm alive," and she's like, "Oh, that's so great."
I will give it up to Steve Trevor. He was very heroic. He intervened in the fight between Aquaman and Wonder Woman, even though he was just a mere mortal man. So, and then he died. But he did die. But he was very heroic in this movie.
I have a theory. Like, if we brought him back from the dead, you know what he would have, you know, done? He would have come back and been like, "I was sent to this land of where there was this being known as Beyonce, and she taught us about the values of single ladies, and she really told me to put a ring on that." So Diana, like, you know, Are you going to not listen to Beyonce? That how, I know how to say it.
Beyonce. I like the idea that he in the afterlife, he listens to a lot of Beyonce music. But in my opinion, he goes like the opposite way. He like goes like Beyonce Lemonade era. And he's like, I don't need you. I'm a strong, independent Steve Trevor.
He has a baseball bat. And she's like,
he has a baseball bat.
And the yellow like that.
He's in the yellow. Mess. He's like, I don't need you. I don't
and
need
here's
you.
And here's another thing, the fake crossover. He meets up with Titus when he did the Lemonade sequence. And they're like, hey, here you go. I'm just gonna smash some cars, but aren't you mad at me? I know, but I can't hit this on you. You will break, and you're Wonder Woman.
So he would end up being the unbreakable Steve Trevor instead of the unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I like it. All right, well, I think that is gonna take us out of Snap Judgments. No judgments on your Snap Judgments. I guess we should point out, as New Rachel did, that Brainiac does come back in the Legion of Superheroes movie. He does die at the end of that movie, though, right? If I remember correctly, I feel like he does die.
So. Really, oh, wait, this is the same Brainiac?
Maybe. We'll have to fact check this.
I don't know.
Yeah, Rachel says he does die again. So
he dies again.
Dying all the time. I don't know what makes him a great villain. But
He subscribes to the Bible of Hawkbro.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, he's like, I'll be back.
I didn't realize that was the same Brainiac this entire time. I thought it was like one of the other Brainiacs.
We'll have to see what number Brainiac
See, that's what's so genius, is they actually number them. Yeah. Not instead of like, I'm Quirrell Docs, but I'm like, no, nobody cares about your name. Tell us your number. Which number in the system are you?
Are you Brainiac 5 or are you Brainiac 8? Yeah,
which Brainiac
which,
are you?
Which one are you?
Which one is 8?
Indigo.
She was number. Oh, okay. So she had. Okay, she was 8.
With the finger actor.
The finger actor.
Another family tree episode. I will subscribe for $100 on your Patreon for a month if you do a family tree episode.
We'll do it for $100.
You can buy us for sure.
I want Google Docs presentations. I want a slideshow. I don't care what music you have to use. Like, I want to see, like, I need this to be like the Animal Planet version of the Brainiac Family Tree.
Okay. All right.
Because, like a National Geographic. See the nasty Luther in her natural habitat.
Look, behold, as they collect knowledge.
And cities in bottles.
New Rachel. Hold on. New Rachel's. Okay. Why have we not called? Why have you not called us? What she just said in the comment. Like,
what if you spell Google Docs, D-O-X?
Like Quirrell Docs and Real Docs.
I Rebecca, like that he was there this entire time. This should have happened in season 3, for God's sake.
Yeah, that does feel like a missed opportunity. We really goofed that one up.
Starting with episode 500 of Supergirl Radio, we're switching to Google Docs. not owned by Elon Musk, just, for the X. It's all...
All right. Well, that is going to do it for this conversation and discussion on Supergirl Radio about Justice Society World War II. And Andy, thank you so much for coming back on Supergirl Radio and being with us to talk about this, since you are a Flash expert. It does help for us to understand the Flashes in this movie and the Barry and Iris relationship. So thank you for joining us. How can our listeners and viewers find you on the internet?
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a hot minute, but I always love coming on here and chatting with you guys about literally anything. Mm-hmm. Somehow I work 30 Rock in here, so I'm proud of myself now. But thank you so much for having me and letting me talk about what is definitely one of my favorite Tomorrow vs. DC movies. People can find me on so many places. Sorry, at anybody on literally any social media app that is out there, because who knows how much longer we have Twitter. If there's a social media app and that handle, there we go, I put it right. If that handle exists, it's me. Go ahead and follow. I'm also a host of the Flash podcast, which the show is over. So we're trying to figure out what we're doing next. We haven't recorded in
We've been through that.
Yeah, I'm not used to this. I'm like, because I was used to, like, for 10 years recording every week. I'm like, I'm not, there's nothing to watch.
Topics? What are topics?
Topics, yeah. I'm like, there's nothing to watch in the CW anymore because, you know, it's almost dead. But yeah, the Flash podcast will be back. Don't worry. But also, if you want to hear me a little more regularly on podcasting, last week I did announce my new show, The Showrunner Whisperer. I promise I'm not going to whisper out those episodes.
it's an ASMR podcast.
Hello, welcome to The Showrunner Whisperer. On this episode, we're going to talk to this showrunner. Oh, no, good word.
That would be terrifying.
The Apple podcast reviews alone will be like, it's not quiet enough, and I'm like,
it's like it could be more whispers. It could,
exactly. But yes, that podcast is our first Multiverse of Color original, which will be premiering on Wednesday, March 20th. And I recorded at least over 10 episodes. Because you guys were so nice to let me on, I will give you guys a little scoop. It's not the first episode, but I did have a lovely conversation with Mr. Jack White of My Adventures with Superman. So for anyone who loves one of the best DC animated shows of all time, look forward to that episode. So
I would have so many questions.
About Flamebird.
About Jimmy Olsen? Flamebird?
There's some stuff about Jimmy. Not gonna
say. Okay.
Andy, do you need our board where every time we say Flamebird, it says caw-caw? Is this something maybe you need for the podcast?
Wait a minute. Did that sound come from somewhere out here? Or was that, did you just play something?
You have to say the special word.
It's Flamebird. How are you doing that?
It's magic. We like pre-recorded it so that we could play it every time.
But wait, where are you? I can't see the video.
Oh, it's in StreamYard. It's a audio file.
Yeah,
you can play sounds now.
You can.
Yeah, this is actually Morgan saying Flamebird.
It is me yelling caw.
Flamebird. I will get back to you on that.
Definitely. Have your people call up if you
which you know, it probably be me, but you know, like that's one of the episodes that's coming up. He was super lovely to talk to, you will there's definitely been a lot of voices people recognize if you from various TV shows, but showrunnerwhisperer.com is where you can find the podcast ad. I have been spending the entire weekend trying to get this podcast up on so many so many podcast platforms, but so many are shutting down. So go subscribe to Showrunner Whisperer wherever you can still subscribe to podcasts. I didn't know Stitcher Radio was gone. I didn't know Google Podcast is going away. I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, the podcast ecosystem seems to be condensing. So it's just like Apple and Spotify now.
So go find all those places. You can find it also on the Multiverse of Color YouTube channel. And really excited for the show. I've been working on it for almost 2 years, and that is I will give you guys one more tease. There, especially for why not? I'm on Super Great Radio. It's a huge honor. So there's for DC TV fans or DC fans, there are some really potentially big stories that they shared, the showrunners, that I think not a lot of you have heard about, that I think will get some discussions going. So nothing but Snapper Carr.
There never was.
I am really, really excited. Something new and different for me after having done podcasts for, you know, 60 years or however long I've been doing it. You know, I'm old now. So, you can also find all my work at Screen Rant and Multiverse of Color. Also, I'm a streamer, Twitch and Kick. So if you want to see me not being great at video games, but trying to, you know, you can catch me there. And, once again, thank you for having me and letting me talk about it. Go watch our Society World War II on Max.
Max.
I actually bought it, so I was kind of like, after I'm like, where is it actually streaming? It was fun. Thank you guys for having me.
Well, thank you for being here, but you're not quite off the hook yet, because
Oh yeah, okay. Mary is.
I think maybe you should do the plugs though before we go.
I thought you wanted me to like confess to a lie.
I mean, you could make a true confession if you wanted to before you do the plugs.
I think Barry and Carr are just as fast. Insert Kamala Harris laugh.
At least that is somewhat true. At least it's as close to the truth as possible.
Cara Zor-El is the fastest woman alive. Jesse Quick has nothing on her. Sorry, Jesse. But you did die on Earth 2 during Crisis. So, you know, like, you can't be that fast if, you know.
Oh, fighting words.
Listen. I fought Eric Wallace on this. I'm like, you know, he was like, oh, I love Jesse Quick, but you killed her. He's like, death in supers doesn't always count. And you can find DC Podcast at dcpodcast.com or multiversalcolor.com. It will go to the same site where we have lovely podcasts for Supergirl, The Flash. I said Supergirl first for once. All the other Arrowverse shows that have come and gone. We have a great podcast for Sandman, DC Studios podcast, The Literation Room, and these are the podcasts that exist for now until David Zaslav decides to get write us up down for tax write-downs. Find it all at dcpodcast.com, anywhere where you can still listen to podcasts. You never know which of these platforms will disappear at some point. And of course, they find at DC Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And yeah.
And if you want to hang out specifically with this podcast, with Supergirl Radio, you can hang out with us as we go live and wired on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on the DCTV Podcast YouTube channel. We're also streaming to the Supergirl Radio Facebook page as well. And if you want to leave us a review, please do so. We would love that. You can do that on Apple Podcasts and anywhere.
Five stars.
Anything you want to say, you can do that. Apple Podcasts has a review option, and some other Radio Public, I think, also has a review stuff. So you can do that. Follow us on Facebook, X, and Instagram, all at Supergirl Radio. You can email us at supergirlradio@gmail.com. We also have a specific podcast website at supergirlradio.com, where you can find all of our archived episodes. And we have a Tee Public store, so you can go to the DCTV Podcast Tee Public store by clicking on the link at the top of supergirlradio.com. And in that store, we have DC or DCTV related t-shirts, tank tops, sweatshirts, onesies, mugs, notebooks, pillows, and stickers. So if you want to get some new merch, that's a good place to go. And Morgan, do you want to tell them about, actually, I don't have it right in the doc.
Sure.
I never do, because I always forget to change this section, but we do have some Justice Society World War II related designs.
We do, since we just watched that, and it did feature Thanagarians, surprisingly enough, but it also featured The Flash and Wonder Woman, and we all remember Our Man, arguably the star of the show.
Yeah, so we've got some characters from the Justice Society and the DCTV Podcast Tee Public store. So if you want some merch related to them, you can find that in the store. And if you would like to become a Legion of Super sponsor and support the Supergirl Radio Patreon, you can do that at patreon.com/supergirlradio. And we would like to thank Michael, Anne Marie, Yvonne, Nicola, Abby, Miriam, Nicole, Brian, Ethan, Danny, Majuba, Zachary, Annie, and Rachel. So thank you all for supporting the podcast. And if you would like to check me out on the social medias, you can find me on Instagram at the Derby Kid and on the social media platform at Derby Kid. The social media platform Vero. If I had my own social media platform, it would be amazing. But I don't. It's the platform Vero. You can find me there at Derby Kid. I also have a YouTube channel. You can find it youtube.com/duckmilkprod. I have been interviewing some Snyderverse fans, so I'm working on a big series about that, and I need to get my Barbie video up because I have not done that yet, so hopefully that will be something I will put out soon. And I was recently back on the Justice League Universe podcast to record an audio commentary with Sam Otten over there about Wonder Woman 1984, so if you want to go check that episode out and cue it up with the movie and hear our commentary. It was actually a very productive conversation. and very different from the one Morgan, you and I had.
Did you dress up in period appropriate garb?
I didn't. It was just audio only. But
did you have a booper blob? Wait, what was it called? What was it called? Bump it? Oh, not blooper. Okay.
I wish that there was a hair thing called a blooper, though.
That's what would that look like? I don't know.
By the way, are there any rings on the Tee Public store?
Rings? No. We just have...
Do not get your engagement ring from the Tee Public store. It would be a lot of money for us, but I don't think it would be good for your personal life.
I don't think you could wear a t-shirt on your finger. So that would probably be a little weird. So unfortunately, no rings at the moment. But yeah, if you want to check out that audio commentary about Wonder Woman 1984, we talk about shortcuts and how the thematic element of shortcuts goes all the way out through the movie. And the question then is, does the movie stick the landing on the shortcut theme? I don't know. You'll have to listen. It's a pretty good conversation, so I highly recommend it.
That's a good teaser. I'm going to listen to that now.
Damn, that's I didn't think about it that way.
It's pretty good. Sam Otten is kind of awesome. He's pretty good at analyzing
movies. Has he been on Super Bowl Radio?
No, I probably, if we don't get him on Super Bowl Radio, I don't think he submitted something one time. I cannot remember. I'll have to ask him. It's escaping my mind, but, if he's not on Super Bowl Radio, I might have him on my, Duck Milk Prod channel.
Ooh.
So, yep.
So you can find me on the Twitter and the Instagrams at MojoTastic. And you can also find me as a co-host on the Legendary Ladies podcast, where we just recently, we talked about the Avatar, The Last Airbender Netflix version, live action. There's no quick way to say it. It's very unfortunate. We talked about the pilot first, but then we followed it up, Amy and I, with the full season. So if you have watched that version of Avatar, I'm not saying the whole thing again. If you've gotten through the whole season, you should check out our podcast about it, because we go through the whole season, our likes and our dislikes, and what we thought about it. And we're all, Amy especially, is a very big Avatar fan. And so we all love the animated version. So we came down pretty hard in the pilot, and then I think we mellowed as we got through the full season. And then I believe our next episode up, we're, the recent news about the Winona Earp movie, we decided maybe it's time for a Winona Earp pilot pod. So, we're going to go revisit the Winona Earp pilot. And that'll be fun, because I believe that, Amy's never seen it. So that'll be a fun time.
That sounds exciting.
I still love that logo with the polished nails.
Yeah. Our little icon person managed to polish their nails before we snapped that photo.
It's either Morgan or Katz or Amy's. Like, you know, one of them has purple nails. So
I think mine's pink and it's chipped. So,
well, on that note, I think it's gonna do it for this episode of Supergirl Radio. But until next time, I'm still Rebecca Johnson.
And I'm still Morgan Glennon. And remember, life is dangerous, but it shouldn't stop us from living it.
McGurk! I love typing.
Not mess with my Google Docs, Meeksy.
Supergirl Radio is going live every night of the week. How do you like it? Is becoming a human burrito a plus or a minus? I don't know. It does seem snug.
I mean, they say you are what you eat.
Cheer up.
I love that. So I do a podcast called Supergirl Radio, and one of our segments is Lena Luthor, boardroom or ballroom. Because
really? She looks like a boss in this show.
Nasty Luther, like a different Luther. It's not just Lena being mean.
No. Helen Slater here. So fun to know that you're hosting a podcast called Supergirl Radio.